I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to my Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How I thank you, Father, for you're so good. Thank you for being here. Thank you for this atmosphere, Lord, that you are here among us, Lord. Thank you. Oh, how I miss being here. Oh, I love you. Jesus, Jesus. How wonderful you are. How wonderful you are. What would we do without you? Where would we go, Lord Jesus? Who would we turn to? Oh, Lord. Come, Lord. Minister to your bride. We ask an amazing thing. Come. Speak. Oh, Lord, speak. Amen. If you turn your Bibles to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, I'm going to read just one short phrase or question, and we'll be seated. Hebrews 11 and 32. Oh, my. Hebrews 11, 32. And what shall I more say? You may be seated. What shall I more say? I was in Washington this past week. Had maybe the best trip of my life. It was amazing. And we were up in the mountains. Last Sunday morning, it was 8:35. I looked at my watch, and it's 2 hours slower than here. So you guys are having 10:35. And I looked at that, and I had broken camp. I was ready to go. My friends, they were still taking their time, getting ready, breaking camp and all. And I thought, Brother Jerry just started preaching. I got off away from everybody by myself. I stand there on a little ridge there looking out through the forest and the big tall ridges of and everything. And I started praying, and the presence of God came so strong. And I missed you all so much. I want to be here so bad. About 30 minutes later, I looked at my watch again. They still were taking their time, and it was 5 after 11 here. I thought, Brother Jerry's right in the heat of it. I thought, I wonder what kind of service they're having, because the Spirit of God was so strong out there. It was amazing. Get here Sunday, I had to come in here, and I was back here singing. I had to come up and worship because I just wanted to be here so bad. I hope y'all feel that way. If you don't, what's wrong? What's wrong? We're going to talk this morning on witnesses, two clouds of witnesses. And we're going to read about these two different clouds of witnesses. Spend time talking about them. So first of all, let's just stay there in Hebrews. Let me just read on down. It says, what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and Jabin and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Brother and sister, if you want a better resurrection, because everyone else's resurrection, this is what it takes. You got to walk in faith. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, were bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And those are your brothers and sisters. You have a right to stand shoulder to shoulder with that crowd of witnesses if you are a believer. Oh my goodness, look what our brothers and sisters went through. What are we going to do? How are we going to stand beside them if we just get kicked around by every demon that comes around and kicks us about? Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Brothers and sisters, they're waiting on us. Why? To get us to a point where we can get to that better resurrection. Because when we're ready, we bring the capstone and the bride are united together so you cannot even tell the difference. And when that happens, it takes the whole body of Christ up off the earth out of earth. And the greatest resurrection is called the rapture. And all they're doing is they're waiting for us to get to that place. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Oh, brother and sister, run with patience. Stick with it. Stay with it. Be true. Stay on the road. Don't fall back. Don't get discouraged now. It's way too late to be discouraged now. Brother and sister, press the battle, for goodness sake. The rapture is right at hand. Hallelujah. That's one cloud of witnesses. Turn to Revelation 3. We're going to see another cloud of witnesses. Oh, my. Revelation 3. Verse 14, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen and the faithful, the true witness in the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. I know thy works. I know what you've done, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Either get in or get out. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee. I will vomit you out because you make me sick sitting in my church. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing. I got everything I need. I'm a church going. I'm a message believer. What more do I need? And knowest now not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. There's another cloud of witnesses. They're called message believers. They're living in this age and they're telling you, just let things stay the way they are. Church can go on the way it is. We've been having church. Let's just continue to have church. Nothing needs to change. We can just sit here. We can deal with the issues that are going on. Let's just have church the way it is. And let me tell you something. The Church of Jesus Christ has never, ever had that approach. The Church of Jesus Christ constantly presses forward. The very thing that he gets sick about, message believers, is they want to keep the status quo. They want to keep everything just the way we are. We just want to stay here and have a night church. Goodness sake, Brother Phil, why don't you just leave things alone so we can just have a comfortable place to go to church? Because that is not the Church of Jesus Christ. And this is a church where Jesus Christ has full control. This is a church where people are going on the rapture. If you want to go to a church where it's lackadaisical, lukewarm, and everything is just comfortable and fine, be my guest. Just quit hindering me. Now, currently, you are in one of those clouds of witnesses. One of those clouds of witnesses saying, I can go on the rapture. The other says, I can't. One cloud says, I can face these demons. The other says, I can't. One says, I can be born again. The other says, I can't. Which witness are you? What witness are you? You're witnessing to one of them,
One of them's either going on, or one of them's sitting still thinking, I'm good to go. I'm a messy believer. Why don't you get off my case?
What more can I say? Make your choice. You either get set free or you get bound. You either go forward or you stop. You either get the rapture or you don't. You get a great resurrection, you get a lousy resurrection. You stand judgment now or you stand judgment later. How much more can I say? What more can I say? You want to sit here and miss the rapture? Or you want to go on? Look at your brothers. Look at your sisters. What did they go through? History tells us of a great hero of the Christian faith, Polycarp, who was a pastor of the Church of Smyrna. He was martyred on Saturday, February 23rd, AD 155. The public games are taking place. The city was overrun with people. The crowd was whipped into a frenzy. Someone cried out, "Let Polycarp be searched for." Knowing this, Polycarp could have easily escaped, but he had a dream that night before in which he saw the pillow under his head on fire. When they came and arrested him, he asked for the privilege of having a final hour to spend with the Lord in prayer. When Polycarp finally entered the Roman arena, God spoke to his heart and said, "Be strong, Polycarp, play the man." God said, "Play the man." Who is the man here who will stand for what's true? Who will stand up and say, I can handle this, I can do this. I can walk in faith. When everything turns against me, who's gonna stand there? And God said, "Play the man, Brother Gene. Play the man, Sister Susie. Or you're gonna buckle." The Roman proconsul gave him a choice: either curse the name of Christ and make sacrifice to Caesar, or die. Polycarp said, "For 86 years I have been his servant. He has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who has saved me? When has God done you wrong?" The proconsul threatened him being burned at the stake, and Polycarp replied, "You threaten me with fire, which burns for a time and is quickly quenched. For you do not know the fire which awakes the wicked in the judgment to come and an everlasting punishment. But why are you waiting? Come do what you will." Come do what you will. The crowd went crazy, pouring in with firewood and kindling. They wanted to nail Polycarp to the stake because they were afraid he would flee. Polycarp said, "Let me alone as I am. For he who has given me strength to endure the fire will also enable me, without you securing me by nails, to stand without moving in the pile." I'm not afraid of your fire. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not going to run away. I'm here to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Do what you will. Brother and sister, let me tell you right now, I'm standing here as a witness for Jesus Christ. Do what you will. You going to make me back down from what the word that God gave me to preach? Who's the man who's going to stand there and be the man? There Polycarp stood as they set the wood around him on fire. Amazingly, the fire did not burn him, did not harm him. It came right up to him and would not burn him. He sang praises to God. Finally, they couldn't take it anymore. They thrust him through with spears. That is called persecution. That's called courage. If Polycarp walked in today, can you stand shoulder to shoulder with him and say, "You're my brother"? Or would you cringe at what he did compared to what you do? At his stand to witness for Christ compared to your stand to witness for Christ? Do you measure up?
Are you in that cloud of witnesses? Are you in the cloud of witnesses that just wants to have a nice church to go to? What are we witnessing about? What are we witnessing for? That God sent a prophet? Most message believers, that's all they can witness. We had a prophet come. We have a message of the hour. That's the only thing they're witnessing to. That is not the witness.
No, it's not.
The witness must be Hebrews 13:8, that Jesus Christ is still the same as he was when Polycarp was thrust through his spear. He's still the same as when he was when he was hanging on the cross. He's still the same as when he walked across the water. He's still the same as when he created squirrels. He's still the same as he ever was. He's the same. He has power. He will take care of you. But he's asking you, will you play the part of a man? Will you be the man? Will you be a cowering dog hiding in all your little feelings and emotions? Beaten up. Beaten down by demons, beaten around by spirits, enslaved to spirits, enslaved. You can be free or you can be bound. The pardon's been given, but you must accept it the way it's given.
Accept the pardon.
We don't want to be free. How do we witness to this? When the Holy Spirit leads you, you do it. You don't go out and just, I'm going to go be a witness. If you try that, I did that. I'm going to go be a witness. I'm going to go tell people about it. In my own ability, I was a reproach. But your word you speak, witness what you believe. Are you pressing forward? Or are you just holding back because you don't like the way things are? You don't like the chastening of the Lord, so I'm going to just cringe back, or you're going to stand there and be a witness. Your actions prove it. Actions prove if you're a witness more than your words, because you can say the right words, but your actions prove what you're really witnessing to. Brother Branham said, if you have God, if you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, you can't wait for those church doors to open. Actions speak louder than your words. And you know what even speaks louder than actions? Your attitude. Because you can come to church, but if you come with a bad attitude, you're still witnessing for the wrong crowd. You are a witness today. Are you witnessing that Jesus Christ is the same and he can take care of problems and he can set you free? And any problem you have at all, he can take it from you if you'll give it to him. Are you witnessing to that? Or are you witnessing that I just want to have a nice place to go to church? Are you willing to fight for what you believe? Are you willing to stand for what you believe? Are you a witness for what you believe? Yes, you are. We're all witnessing for what we believe. You can't help it. Your actions and your attitude prove what you believe. My brother, I was talking to my brother Rick, I was down in Florida. His job, part of his job, what he does is he helps work with, they call it Central Command, which has to do with the Central, the Middle East. And so he's heavily involved in the policies and the actions that we do over in the Middle East. With Iraq and Afghanistan and Israel and all those countries. And He said, when I was there, I met up with him a couple nights, and that day he had hosted a lunch for 11 Iraqi generals who had come to the United States for training because we trained the Iraqi military. He said, when we were over there invading and doing that, you know, we got him, we got rid of Saddam, we turned the country back over, said, run your country. And it didn't work. Why? Because they had Sunnis and Shias and Kurds and all these other tribes and all these chieftains, and this tribe was here, and they could not get along. And they put their religion ahead of the country. They put their tribes ahead of the country. They put everything else ahead of the country. Because I don't care if I'm Iraqi. I'm a Shia first and you're a Sunni, so I will kill you. And they're slaughtering each other by the thousands. And their army was horrible. Because you wouldn't, I ain't going to share a fighting position with that guy. He's the wrong religion. He's the wrong tribe. He's not part of my family. I'm not going to fight with him. Then something came along called ISIS. And because Iraq was so weak, ISIS gained a huge portion of land. They just invaded right in the heart of Iraq. They had this huge area, hundreds of square miles, controlled by ISIS. And you know what ISIS was doing to the Iraqis? They were killing them by the thousands. Either you join up or we'll kill you. And they were killing them. And these guys, their families were in this land controlled by ISIS. And their cousins and their families and their children and all their friends were being slaughtered in this area controlled by ISIS. And the Iraqis said, we got to do something about this. You know what United States said? It's your country. Go do it. Stand on your own 2 feet and go face the enemy yourself. We're tired of propping you up. You know what we did? We gave them the equipment. We used our air power. We supported them. They said, this is your country. Go fight for it. Quit being a little sissy. Fight for what you believe in. Fight for what you love. Stand up and be a man. You know what they did? They went and fought for it. And they went to this and they started pushing back, and they had this one, the main city where ISIS controlled, called Mosul. You've heard of it. And they went in to fight in Mosul. And that Iraqi went in there, a disjointed bunch of who could care less about anybody else. And they fought there for months. And you know what happened? They had one common enemy. And by the time they had destroyed ISIS in Mosul, there was one Iraqi army. They had united. There were no longer Shias and Kurds and Sunnis and all these other different things. They had put all that aside and said, we have an enemy that's going to destroy us if we don't destroy them. Brother and sister, if that's not what we have to get to, recognize this. Your enemy is the devil. We have one common enemy. I am not your enemy. Brother Jerry is not your enemy. Brother David is not your enemy. Brother Jim is not your enemy. Sister Cindy is not your enemy. Your enemy is Satan. Unite against him. We have one common enemy. But you know what? As long as we're fighting each other, we don't have to worry about that. Satan don't have to do anything. He just sits back there and watches. My brother hosted these 11 generals. Iraqis and Kurds have been fighting for centuries probably. And they're sitting at that table, those 11 generals, two Kurdish army generals. They had the Iraqi uniform, but it said Kurdish Army on it. And they're sitting there at the same table with those Iraqi generals. Impossible. What happened? One common enemy had united them. My brother got up to speak to him. He started talking about this, how Iraq is a nation. You come together, you've united. You have an army that needs to be reckoned with. He said those generals are sitting there, tears running down their face. Such pride. Look what has happened. We have come together. We are an army. We've destroyed ISIS. Oh, brother and sister, if we could just unite against one common enemy here, be a witness that Jesus Christ is the same. Yes, I ain't worried about how Brother Paul feels about me. I don't care what Brother Chris is saying. I don't care what Sister Brenda's telling on the telephone. I don't care about it. We're all brothers and sisters. We're brothers and sisters. We're not enemies. They have beat ISIS down to one city block. And they were surrounded and they kept pushing in, but they dug in. There's a lot of ISIS warriors there, and they had gotten to the sewers underneath the streets. They had built these strongholds, these firing positions, and just all these places that bombed out there, but they pushed them down to actually half a city block. It's a big city block, but just half of them. And all the main resistance of ISIS was in that one city, half a city block. And they were in there, they were dug in. Because see, ISIS can't surrender. If they surrender and they go back to their, to whoever they go back to, they are killed. They are burned to death because you never surrender if you're in ISIS. So it was a fight to the death. And they were going to kill as many of those Iraqi soldiers as they could. They were dug in hard and was ready just for that last push, just to take out that last city, half a city block. And one man, he looked around, an Iraqi soldier, he looked around, he said, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of seeing my brothers getting shot down. He said, I'm going to lay down my life. He jumped on a bulldozer, armored bulldozer. He fired that thing out. He could put it fast as he could go, and he headed down the street right at ISIS. And he started, he charged into one firing position. He charged into a stronghold. He was knocking the sewer down. He was burying them alive. And he was just going from one to the other, right down the middle of the street on that bulldozer. They're shooting at him, and he just kept coming. He said, I've had enough of this. I'm tired of being kicked around by these people. I'm tired of this demon destroying me. I'm tired of this demon destroying my brothers and sisters. I'm going after him. You know what happened? He was about halfway down the street. He looked around. Here came all his friends. They said, hey, we're coming with you. And they jumped up and they were charging down the street. And it just took them a few hours. They had wiped out the rest of them. They were done. Why? Because one person decided, I'm going to play the man. He got on that bulldozer. He took off down the street. Who's going to ride the bulldozer today? Who's going to stand up and say, I'm sick of seeing this demon destroy my family. I'm sick of seeing this demon have power over me. I'm sick of being kicked around. I'm just tired of slavery. Who's going to destroy it? Stand on your feet and go after him. And God, Brother Ben said, God needs one person in his hand. It just takes one. Who's it going to be? Who's going to stand up and say, I'm sick of this spirit destroying me, of beating me down, of being enslaved to it? Who's going to stand? You say, well, that's a minister job. I beg to differ. That's a believer's job. I don't care who you are. Or are you going to just sit back there and say, I don't want to get killed? Lay down your life for your friends. Go after the demon. Go stand to him face to face. Put on the full armor of God and go after him. What are you waiting on? He said, well, what am I supposed to do? Let me tell you something. You're not going out, well, I'm going to go do this. No, you're not. That Iraqi soldier, he didn't jump up and run down the street on his own. He got on a power that was greater than him. He got on something that protected him. It was armored. And those bullets were pinging off that bulldozer as he going, and he just kept going. Why? Because he knew where he was. He knew he was safe behind that armor. Brother and sister, this Holy Spirit has got power. It will protect you. It will destroy the enemy. But you got to get on and ride it. You got to get on it. You got to get in that power. Get that power taken. Put on the full armor of God and go against that enemy. And don't stop letting him kick you around. Be free. Take the sword of the word and take what God has promised you and go back to say, I can, I will be free. I will be free. I will not be a slave to this stress. I will not be a slave to this worry. I will not be a slave to this depression. I will not be a slave to this lust. I will not be a slave to anything that God has set me free from. And then stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made you free. Who's going to do it? Who's going to witness it? Who's going to stand in the cloud of witnesses that I can take my spot beside Polycarp? You say, oh, you're just emotionally aroused. You're just excited. Let me tell you something. Faith will get you excited. This ain't an emotion. You say, well, I can't do it. Of course you can't. Get on the bulldozer. Greater than you. Don't be afraid. Polycarp wasn't afraid. He knew he was going to die. God had shown him, you're going to die. But the field is going to be so hard. Well, of course it's going to be hard. It's supposed to be hard. This is a fight for eternal life. How important is it? How important is life to you? How much are you willing to die to yourself? How much are you willing to lay down your own self, your own ideas, your own thoughts, your own emotions, your own feelings? You think Polycarp felt good? That's one person, Polycarp. That's all it is, one person. How many millions? They're around, they're saying, get ready, y'all. We want to go. We can't wait for this rapture. Come on, get ready. You can do it. Come on, let's go. Somebody stand up and charge the enemy. Quit sitting around because it's too hard. Quit sitting around because, oh, I don't know. Well, I don't know if this is going on. Quit sitting around and go forward. Witness that Jesus Christ is still the same. Witness it. Oh my. Destroy that enemy that's destroying your friends. Destroy the enemy that's destroying your family. Destroy the enemy that's harming this church. Destroy him. Press that battle. Lay down your life. Unify with the Holy Spirit and you'll find you're unified with your brothers and sisters. You cannot be unified with the Holy Spirit and be at odds with your brother and sister who's also unified with the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. That makes sense? If I'm born again and Brother Paul is born again and we're having a problem, we're not in unity with the Holy Spirit, folks. We're grieving him. You're not alone. We have a whole cloud of people have gone before and said, you can make it. We made it. Come on. You can do it. Yes. Press the battle. Look what we went through. It's listen. Look at all the things we suffered. We're waiting on you. We want you to get ready so we can all go in this great resurrection. Don't let anything hinder you. Don't look at the world. Don't look at the things around and get your eyes distracted. Don't get focused on something else. Young people in school, recognize this. Satan is trying to fighting harder against you than the rest of us because you're young. You don't have the experience yet. You don't have the experience, the strength that comes through experience. And he knows that he can throw temptations against you harder than against the rest of us sometime. Because we've gone through these things. Let me tell you something, young people in school. Right now, look around. You have a whole cloud of witnesses here who are praying for you all the time. If you're not praying for the young people in school, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Don't you know they're in hell's very core? Do you know what it's like in our schools today? It's literal hell. You're not praying for them? Come on, folks. And when Satan comes against you and they bring all the temptations that they got to do this and do that and be this way and be that, and that spirit is so strong in those chairs, you don't walk into school, you know, that spirit is so oppressing. Recognize this, young people. You have a whole crowd of witnesses right here saying, press the battle. Press the battle. It's worth it. We're with you. But you got to fight your own battle. Learn to fight when you're young. Learn to walk in faith while you're young. Don't wait until you're old like I am. And some of us around here, we're learning just as we're going. How much more can God use a young person to surrender to him? Let me tell you something. There is very few things as encouraging to old people as seeing young people serving God. I'll just be honest. If you're an old person, say amen to that. It is so encouraging because we look around, we recognize what you're going through, we recognize the battle, we recognize how hard it is because we've gone through it too, and so many times we made all these mistakes. But brother and sister, when you're young and you're going through it, and we see that you're doing what you can to walk in faith, oh, that just makes us like, yes! It's so encouraging. What does it do? It proves that Jesus Christ is still the same. Yes, it does. Talked about when we went on that canoeing, kayaking, hiking a couple weekends ago, and just the young people, someone giving testimonies, and I left out. I was so encouraged. My, this ain't just something for old folks who just, this is all we got left, so let's just go ahead and be a Christian now. This is in the very hearty life, your life is just is getting stronger and stronger, and you can just yield that to Christ. Take your rightful place in this cloud, folks. Take your rightful place. You have a right. You have earned your place in this cloud of witnesses. Don't let Satan rob you of that. Well, I just never done anything like Polycarp. Well, first of all, get rid of that old It's called false humility. It does nothing for you that's pleasant, that's good, all right? It makes you look like just an old mossback Amish man or something. Stand up there as a man, as a woman. And you know what I mean by say, be please the man. It doesn't have nothing to do with gender. It means stand up there like what God called you to be, right? What God called you to be with courage. Stand there in your place. You say, well, I've never been persecuted. I was never killed. Well, of course you haven't been killed yet. You wouldn't be sitting here, right? But brother and sister, just recognize that the battles you're facing are just as intense. But God, Satan has he has come back around, and where they're persecuting him physically and all that and killing him. Brother, sister, with us, it's been such much more a spiritual battle because now he persecutes you with soft living. We're not used to fighting. We don't have to pray because we got enough money in the bank. We got a nice place to live. Kroger's is still chock full of food. What in the world do we have to pray about? Brother and sister, that demon will destroy you as quick as those spears destroyed Polycarp. But see, the thing is, Polycarp's soul was okay, so even though they killed a body, they can't kill him. He's still alive somewhere. He's still bearing witness. He's still bearing witness that Jesus Christ is the same. Brother Tim Horner is still bearing witness that Jesus Christ is the same. Brother James Browning is still bearing witness that Jesus Christ is the same. It doesn't matter. It had nothing to do with you passed from this life. You're still bearing witness. Why? By what you left behind. Oh, if you were to die today, what would you leave behind? What witness would you have left? This cloud is not complete without us. You must take your place. Which cloud are you going to take your place in? Both clouds have to be complete. Which one are you going to take your place in? Oh, but Pharaoh is so hard. Hallelujah. way out for it being hard. You know what we need to do instead of whine about it? Start thanking God that it's hard. Oh my goodness. You should. Oh. It just takes the fire out of it, brother and sister, when you start thanking God for it. Last night I got home about 11 o'clock or something. Been at airports all day and trying to get home and just tired. Lay there in bed and I couldn't sleep. My mind, Satan just attacked me and it was just a boo, just like, I said, what is wrong with me? I should be sleeping and tired. I got up this morning and there he was again on the way to church. I was there again. And you know what happened? I started thanking God for it. God, you got something great. You got something, some reason why Satan's come against me so hard. You're trying to get me so discouraged. You're trying to get me so I have something in my spirit realm so that I can't yield completely to you. That's what Satan is doing. Start thanking him for it. Thank you for this trial. Thank you for trying what Satan's trying to do in my mind. Thank you for what's going on. Why? Because Satan didn't want me to say this. And he didn't want to sit. Have you sit here and listen to it either? But all you have a promise. It says, don't worry. Do not fear, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you eternal life. Oh, he takes pleasure in giving you a new birth. He takes pleasure in giving you freedom. He takes pleasure in you. He wants to give you the whole kingdom. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Why would we not accept what he wants to give us? Oh, he loves us. He loves you, brother and sister. You say, well, brother, I'm not sure what cloud I'm in right now. Oh, my goodness. I don't know why not. Check your desire. What do you want? More than anything in life, what do you want? I want to live. I want eternal life. I remember a long time ago, Jerry Bell came up to me one time after service. I was just struggling, just up and down. He said, what do you want? Do you want? He said, do you want to be a Christian? Something like that. I said, yes. He said, no, stop. And he was not a born again man, but God was anointing. He was using him at this time. And he said, do you want? I said, yes. He said, no, just stop. Just think about it. He said, what do you really want? And I remember standing there. It's an old pond at the community center. And it wasn't something I did, but something just went down inside, just way down deep, and I just could sense something going way down and kept going past and kind of, what do I really want? And it caught on something. And it seemed like just the tiniest little thing, it just caught, it just stopped there. I said, I want to live. I want life. I want to be a Christian. It wasn't something up here in my head. It was something down here that anchored. It held.
Hallelujah.
Something there. Your actions will prove what you really want. Your actions will prove it. Oh, I want to be a Christian, Brother Phil. And you can't get to church. You don't want it very bad. Let's just be honest. Can we be honest? But if it's there, and you know that more than anything else, I'm going to tell you something else that happened. This is going to sound horrible. I'm going to tell you anyways. I was with a girl a long time ago. And we were inappropriate. And she wanted us to get together and date and marry or whatever, that kind of stuff. And I just said, no, I don't think so. She said, well, what do you really want? I said, I want to be a real Christian. That ruined the mood. It just came out. It wasn't me sitting there thinking, trying to press. It just came out. I want to be a real Christian. And you and all the like, just like you, I don't care if I never have anything like you again. I want to be a real Christian. Something inside, brother and sister. greater than anything the world could offer. Greater than all the temptation. Greater than anything Satan can offer you. If you want to be a real Christian, rest in that. Just rest. No, I recognize it. Look, more than anything else, I want to be a real Christian. You know when I got born again? Years later. Years later. For both of those examples I just gave, it did not happen till years and years later. But it was something that I was born with. I was born with it. It was always there. It had to come to life. Oh, if you recognize that, rest, little bride. Rest, for all is well. Oh, let that anchor in someone's heart today. God, let that anchor, let that become a rest. They look at themselves and say, all this mess I'm going through, all this confusion. Yet there's something inside me that is anchored, and I will rest in that. I will rest in that.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, you know what happened when you do that? You just jumped on your bulldozer. Said, I'm going forward. I'm going forward. Somebody come with me. But if you do or not, I'm still going forward. If you all want to come, come along. But if you come or not, I'm going by myself. Y'all get up and walk out of this door. Everyone just go leave. That's fine. I'm going to stay here and preach this. And I'm going to go in the rapture. And I'll come here next Thursday and next Sunday and the next Thursday. I'll preach an empty place. But I'm going to be, I'm going on. Why? Because there's something inside that can't be satisfied by anything. We're at a campsite, and there's this huge valley and glacier snow ice up there, and it was coming down. The melt would just get this river just bounding down from a fall and rushing through there, and it come through this gorge. And there's a rock, water just rushing, just roaring through it, and it coming right by the camp. And it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And I had to get away. And I had to get away. I walked about 100 yards up, and I was standing there and watching this through this gorge, this water just pouring off this mountain. And this thought come to me, said, there's a river of life that flows from the throne of God.
Yes.
And it runs down through the cities and the byways. And it's going to run right through my front yard. I'm going to have a tree of life sitting there. Growing there, I'm going to eat from it every month. I'm going to get the kind of fruit. You talk about something good to eat. And I'm going to look across the river. And there's William, someone sitting on, there's Brother Paul. I said, Brother Paul, how you doing? He said, I'm doing pretty good, Brother. You know, my hip, I can dance. I'm going to walk down the street. I said, hey, Sister Cindy, where's Brother Wayne? He said, oh, he know where he is. He's always down by the river. I'm going down by where the river is. I said, Brother Wayne, where's Brother Wayne? Brother Gene's going to be sitting there. Oh, he went dancing off that way a little while ago. He said, where is he at? I'm going to take off after him as hard as I can go. I'm going to look up on the ridge and running across the mountain. There goes my mom. Just singing and dancing. There goes Dad chasing her. Joe, slow down. I can't keep up with you. He said, I can't slow down. There's Brother Jim sitting there. He's got his feet dangling. He's sitting on a rock, his feet dangling off in the water like that. Brother Tim's right beside him. His mom right beside him. I said, y'all doing okay?
Amen.
You said, this is a fantasy. This is more real than you sitting here.
Amen.
And I'm going to get off by myself. I'm going to be singing, running across the mountains. I don't know. And all of a sudden, someone's going to be there dancing and shouting with me. I'm going to turn and look. It's going to be Jesus. I will get my time with Jesus. Oh, don't you want that time? Just me and him. I want to keep him as long as I can. Y'all gonna have to wait.
Don't worry, you got eternity.
Oh.
Brother Phil, you're just telling a fairy tale. You go ahead and believe that. You believe that this fairy tale all you want. The whole crowd of witnesses telling me it's not. The whole crowd of witnesses saying, oh yeah, it's real. Because we're partaking of part of that right now.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us.
Let me just make a comment here. That sin, the weights and the sin that beset us, that's not, oh, I still struggle with greed, or I still struggle with my tongue, or I still struggle with lust, or I still struggle with anger. Brother and sister, this is the unbelief that you're listening to the cloud that says you can't make it.
And when you believe that, then you go and do those other things to find comfort. Does that make sense? Because we do those other things because we don't feel that this is really for us. This cloud of witnesses is not really for us. We don't feel that we identify with this cloud of witnesses, and so we have to find comfort someplace else. Brother and sister, oh, don't you ever quit believing what God said about you. It will fix your attitude. Don't get discouraged. It's too late to quit. You say, well, I don't know, Brother Phil. Well, I can't, I don't know what to tell you. I have nothing else to say. If this late and you're still not sure what you want to do, I don't know what to tell you. He said, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Patience. Just have patience. How's it going to work out? Well, how's God going to do it? I don't know. I got things in my life right now, and Satan wants to say, well, how's it going to work out? What's going to happen? You need to do this. You need maybe. It's just chaos. Run with patience, put it in God's hand, and go out and play. I'm serious. Go take a vacation. 6 days in the wilderness out there. You know what I was concerned about? Mosquitoes. That was the worst problem, and my sore feet. What if that is all you had to worry about? Come back into civilization, and there is the demons just waiting. Ah, he's back. But it was restful out there, folks. Y'all see the pictures. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The author and the finisher. He started it. He's going to finish it. If you run with patience, just keep steady, folks. Be the man. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me finish. He endured the cross. He told us, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross. Endure it. Despise the shame. Well, Brother Phil, I've been embarrassed. I've been humiliated. Despise that shame. Like, I don't care. Whatever it takes, I'm going in. I don't care. If I'm humiliated in front of the whole world, that's okay. I'm going in. If that's what it takes to set me free, I'm going in. And what? Why? Because the joy that was set before him. Brother and sister, what I was talking about, that river of life and that place to live, you can have that. It's for you. Notice, no graves, no teardrops, never. No more bloodshed. Shall never be moistened by a teardrop or blood, no.
Be no more wars, no clouds of winter, no cold snow upon the breast of her. Won't lay there no more on it. The hot sun will never burn its grass. Even the desert shall bring forth roses. That old sticky desert will blossom one day like a rose. God says so. When she's redeemed, when she takes her fire baptism. All kinds of cactuses and stickers, everything now, but she got a fire baptism coming like the man was. He still had hatred, malice, and strife in him. When the fire baptism came, it cleaned it off. No more jealousy, no more of nothing. It's just absolutely the dwelling place for God. Remember, that's his delegation that's going to meet him over yonder. That's his delegation that's going to meet him over yonder. Are you part of that delegation? He said, that's not a story. That's the truth. That's what God said. That's what he's promised. That's what the bride goes to. What more can I say? If you think this was Phil Bontorg up here just spouting off, I can't help you. God can't help you. But if you recognize Jesus Christ is the same, he so cares about you. He's doing all he can to set you free. He's doing all he can to get us ready for the rapture. He's literally preaching us into a rapture. Please. Please, let's all go. Is that all right? I love you. I'm not your enemy. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you what God gives me to say. And sometimes I don't understand it, and sometimes you don't understand it, and it hurts. And that's okay. Endure the chastening. Stand. I just want to crawl into a corner with Jesus right now and just sit there and be. He's so good to me. He has been so good to me. Oh, if I could just testify what he's done. He took me from such a warped religious childhood, so many years of emptiness and pain and trying and trying. And then he called me to preach his gospel. What he's done for us, Brother Paul. What he's done. Look at each one of you. What has he done for you? He's given you life. I think we can worship him for a minute, can't we? Lord Jesus, we're so grateful for this word, I pray. Lord Jesus, don't let it return void. Let it anchor deep into good ground. Surely you've painted a picture, you showed a picture of such joy and peace in life that there's no one who could turn from that and look away and say, well, I prefer something else. But what about this? But what about that? Surely no one will turn from the reality that you've given today. Go to each heart, Lord. You've driven back the doubts and the fears. You've driven back the unbelief. You've driven back the sin. You've driven back the feelings of hurt. Oh, you're so good. All the time. I pray now, Lord, that you would come and just continue dealing with each person here.
let the word be anchored in good ground. Water that word, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Let the sun shine. Let it bring forth. Let it sprout up even now before we leave here. Don't let Satan rip this roots out. I ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen. God bless you, brother and sister.
Sing "I'm on the Battlefield for My Lord."
Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. But I promised Him that I would serve Him till I die. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised Him that I'm gonna serve Him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
See you. is with us today. He's here and willing to whatever we say.
Old songs like this. And I sing these old songs, makes me think of Brother Bill from Ohio, my papa. These are all the songs I remember singing growing up. It's mean the same thing now as I did then. See you singing it.
He's here, Elijah's God is with us today. He's here to will and do whatever he said. Behold the bride of Christ in glory. He's here, Elijah's God is here. Well, she walks in step with the revealed of the eye. She talks and demons flee before the mighty fire.
Me. And thank you, thank you.
be dismissed this time. Have a separate the Paul dismissed.